Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $6 McDouble meal deal, or the new $7 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. So it's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I am your host, Dan Canobia, and we are back in a very big way. It's the heavyweight division that is dominating the headlines in the sport of boxing as Tyson Fury signs a massive deal with ESPN and Top Rank, kind of shaking up the heavyweight division, shaking up the boxing world. Joining us on the show today, Sports Illustrated's Chris Maddox also works for DAZN, so he is in the know. He'll give us some information on Deontay Wilder, on Jarrell, Big Baby Miller, on Anthony Joshua, on Tyson Fury, and some insights on where these fighters can all go right now, because it's a merry-go-round. It's a merry-go-round of attention for these heavyweights, and right now, it's Tyson Fury's time to shine. You know, a few weeks ago, it was Deontay Wilder's after that fight with Tyson Fury after the draw. He went on that wild press tour. So right now, in the heavyweight division, it's all about Tyson Fury. It's all about Anthony Joshua as he gets ready for Jarrell Miller. So we'll talk to SI.com's Chris Mannix to get his thoughts on everything that's going on in the heavyweight division. Also joining us on the program, he is a former two-division world champ, and you can catch him on ESPN, one of the best emerging broadcasters in the business right now. He is the Desert Storm, Tim Bradley. He'll join us to get kind of in the mindset of a fighter. And the reason I wanted to have Tim on this show, he signed with Top Rank. He worked closely with Bob Arum. He knows what Bob Arum and that Top Rank machine can do for a fighter, getting that money, and maximizing it. Also, you know, we can't not talk about Triple G, as it looks like he's close to finally signing on the dotted line with DAZN. So a lot going on in the world of boxing. We'll talk to Chris Mannix, we'll talk to Tim Bradley, and we'll do also a new In Case You Missed It as well. Coming up next, it's the interview section of the show. Our next interview on Inside Boxing Live is brought to you by Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar. Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar, located just a few steps away from Madison Square Garden and Times Square. Go into Jack Doyle's for all your entertainment needs. From happy hours to birthday parties to private events, Jack Doyle's has you covered. Once again, that's Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar, located on 240 West 35th Street. Our next guest, you can catch him on DAZN as well as see his stuff on SportsIllustrated.com. He is the one and only Chris Mannix, and he joins us right now to talk about a lot of rumors in the sport, a lot of speculation swirling around the world of boxing. So let's start with this this Triple G news, Chris. Are we closer? Another report that came out over the weekend. Are we closer to seeing Triple G finally sign on that dotted line? And it looks like it will be with DAZN.
Yeah, I think we're very close to that happening. They've been, I would say, closing in on an agreement for the better part of the last month. You know, they've got the financials pretty well nailed down when it comes to Golovkin. One thing that I was told is that they've been still trying to work through is how Golovkin wants to handle his promotional company in the future. Now, he's got one of those typical boutique promotional outfits and GGG promotions. I don't even think they have a fighter signed to it at this point, but I do believe he wants to grow it and, you know, become some kind of legit promoter. And to do that, you need dates on DAZN. So I think he's going to get that moving forward. The other part of it too, and I'm not sure how exactly DAZN is going to handle this, but one thing Golovkin has been talking a lot about in the meetings he's had with them has been kind of the future of Kazakh boxing. I think he'd like DAZN to play a role in growing boxing in Kazakhstan. Again, I'm not exactly sure how that would work, but he has been very vocal about, you know, his legacy and being part of the growth of boxing in his native country.
Well, that makes sense because, you know, DAZN has this worldwide, you know, footprint where it's not just here in the U.S., at least with boxing. You know, overseas, they have all these other rights to sports. So I can kind of see where he's coming from. But when you bring up the Triple G promotions, you know, you didn't bring up Tom Loeffler and K2. Is he a part of this? I mean, there's so many rumors right now about whether he's part of this deal. Are you, from your understanding, is Tom Loeffler a part of Triple G's camp anymore?
Look, Tom Loeffler has not been a part of these negotiations. They have been done within the inner circle of Gennady Golovkin, you know, mainly his family and a couple of other people. I do think, though, that once this deal is finalized, you know, Tom Loeffler will be a part of it in some way. You know, somebody has to promote these fights.
Right.
And if it's not Eddie Hearn, if it's not Oscar De La Hoya, you know, Loeffler's proven that he can promote Gennady Golovkin fights and promote them at a pretty high level. I mean, we know what he's done at Madison Square Garden, you know, coming off the last two Canelo fights. So there's a familiarity there that I think that Golovkin would like that part of the relationship to continue. But I wouldn't compare it to what, you know, Lou DiBella and Tom Brown, some of these other promoters do with some of the PBC guys, but it's probably something closer to that than a normal fighter-promoter relationship.
All right, so the fights now for Triple G. Obviously, Canelo, this third fight, has to be a big part of this deal. And it makes you think, you know, like he's getting this equity. We'll talk about that in a second. This, you know, that's part of this deal, you know, allegedly. And, you know, Canelo got the $365 million. You know, will there be forces that say you guys have to fight in September, you know, in order to get the subscriptions up, in order to make their money back on these massive payouts? Will we see Canelo Triple G in September because of those reasons?
Oh, I think that's virtual certainty if this Golovkin deal gets finalized in the next couple of days. I wouldn't expect Golovkin in with anybody tough in his first fight back, you know, whether it's in April or mid-May. But, you know, come September, I think it's full steam ahead for a third fight between Golovkin and Canelo. Look, they're paying these two, and will be paying Golovkin most likely, and certainly paying Canelo an extraordinarily high amount of money. I mean, it is bonkers kind of how much money DAZN is handing out to secure these big fights. To their credit, they're doing it to make sure they get big fights at a cheap rate for people to see in the U.S. And I give them a lot of credit for that. But there's no question, you know, the second fight for Gennady Golovkin, if this deal all comes together, it will be for Canelo.
Well, that's good. That's good for fight fans. I think fight fans will be happy to hear that. But if you think about it, though, with DAZN, they have three of the biggest stars right now. You have Anthony Joshua, they have Canelo, and if this deal comes through, they'll have Triple G as well. This equity deal, this equity part about it is kind of funny because, you know, if it's true, maybe Golovkin is technically your boss at DAZN, so you got to write, you know, very carefully about him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything about the equity side of it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
I know, who cares?
I would be skeptical that DAZN and the ownership group there is going to give him a, you know, percentage of the company. I don't see. If they weren't going to give that to Canelo, I don't know why they give it to Gennady Golovkin. But,
yeah.
Again, there's a lot of variables. As you mentioned, there, you know, DAZN is global. You know, maybe it has something to do with what they do on a global scale rather than the U.S. Again, maybe it has something to do with guaranteed fight dates. I mean, he's getting something more than just paydays out of this deal, or will get something more than just paydays out of this deal once it comes together. I'm just skeptical that a percentage of the company is going to be part of it.
On to some more speculation. Let's go over to the heavyweight side of things. Obviously, Tyson Fury made some huge news over the past week, signing with ESPN and Top Rank, which surprised a lot of people. Now I'm going to get right to it. Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury happens when and on what platform, in your opinion?
Well, if it happens, I think it happens on ESPN pay-per-view. You know, Wilder's made it clear that he's a free agent. I think there are people at Showtime that would push back a little bit on that, but he certainly does have more flexibility than any of the top guys that are out there right now. So if that fight does happen, when it happens, I think it's ESPN pay-per-view. But I do think that the door right now is wide open for Wilder to be the next guy that DAZN goes after. And I think they will and are really preparing to go after him on a full scale. I mean, we know what they have. They've got Anthony Joshua sitting there. You know, he's a heavy favorite coming into that fight with Jarrell Miller. If he comes out of that fight unscathed, there's going to be another push to have a unification fight with Deontay Wilder. These guys, there's only so much these two can talk before people get really frustrated at the lack of making a fight. And, you know, DAZN is willing to spend, as we know. I think they're going to come pretty hard at Deontay Wilder,
wow,
for a multi-fight type of deal that that sets up a potential Joshua fight either late this year or early in 2020.
Yeah, because you figure when Deontay Wilder said, I'm a free agent, you think that just, you know, all the executives all over the place, whether it's at ESPN, DAZN, I didn't even think about DAZN. They must have been like, whoa, wait a second, you know, he's a free agent. Let's throw some money at him, right?
Yeah, and look, I mean, ESPN's got a lot of money, and they can make a significant offer, no question. But the reality is that, you know, DAZN's willing to go deeper into their pocket than anybody else. Simple as that. And if you know, Wilder truly is a free agent, and if he's willing to kind of, you know, I don't even think he has to cut ties with Al Haymon or with anybody within his group, because that's not how really how DAZN operates. I mean, as we know, there's almost, you know, separate leagues going on inside DAZN. You've got Eddie Hearn and what he's doing with Matchroom. You've got Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya. Now, they coexist, obviously, in a good way, but, you know, they're very much separate entities with how they deal with DAZN. And so won't Gennady Golovkin be. He's unlikely, I think, to be directly signed with Golden Boy or,
right,
or with Matchroom. So there's room for Deontay Wilder to bring his whole team over and be part of DAZN, which would obviously make it much easier to make, you know, one, two, maybe three fights with Anthony Joshua down the line.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm thinking about Al Haymon, and you know, I think the whole boxing Twitterverse lost its mind when Fury signed with ESPN, and, like, you know, I'm peeling back the onion here, and I'm thinking of all these different scenarios and all these different, you know, business side of things. It's crazy how the boxing world works, but I started thinking about Al Haymon and how he's in a very tricky spot right now. You know, he's got a star client in Deontay Wilder on the precipice of generational money, as Wilder said. And, you know, does Al Haymon do what's best for his client in Deontay Wilder and get him that money? Or, you know, does he look out for his relationships with Fox and his Showtime? What do you think about that?
I mean, look, I don't even think it's an Al Haymon question at this point. It's got to be a Deontay Wilder question. And he's a loyal guy. He's shown that in the past. You know, as much as media members, myself included, have had problems with how Al Haymon's operated over the years, very few fighters have. He's always taken care of his fighters. You have to credit him for that. But Deontay Wilder is now reaching kind of a crossroads. He cannot go back to Showtime or Showtime pay-per-view and just make $3 to $5 million, you know, fighting Dominic Brazil. That just can't happen. Not with the enormous wealth that's out there for him to potentially grab onto right now. I mean, he's commented on this publicly as much, where he's sort of said, this is my time to make the money. That time's right now.
Yeah.
It's here. It's standing. It's sitting right in front of him. There are probably two pots of gold right in front of him that all he has to do is grab. One with an ESPN label on it and one with a DAZN label on it. He can't, out of sheer loyalty, turn around and say, you know, Al, you've taken me to this point. I'm going to stick with you without a clear plan to make him that type of money. He can't say to Showtime, you guys have helped build my career, or to Fox, you've been part of my career. He can't say to them, I'm going to stick with you because of all that. That money's going to be gone at some point. Deontay Wilder, we kind of look at him as the sort of young guy.
Right.
He's 33 years old.
33.
Like, his career is got a clock attached to it. So I think he's got to grab onto that at some point in the next couple of months and make a decision for himself.
So if Wilder does go with DAZN, where does that leave Tyson Fury in the mix?
You know, the Fury ESPN signing was really curious to me. Not that I don't understand and appreciate what ESPN brings to the table in terms of exposure. And as much as people like you and I and the hardcore boxing audience know exactly who Tyson Fury is, and Fury's done a tremendous job on his own building up his brand in the U.S. in the build-up to this last fight, there's still a lot of people out there that don't know him. And being on the ESPN platforms is going to introduce him to a whole new audience. But he's kind of at the point where he should be grabbing on to the most money. And he just made a fight with Deontay Wilder that much more difficult by going over to ESPN. A Anthony Joshua fight is not going to happen as long as Fury's aligned with ESPN and Joshua is aligned with Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can conceivably make a joint pay-per-view between ESPN and Showtime. You can't make pay-per-views with a company like DAZN, which has no interest in making pay-per-views.
Yeah.
So that's completely off the table. And the other reason it was curious for Fury is that we all know kind of his situation. He had a great fight against Deontay Wilder, but he goes in there with like Kubrat Pulev or Oscar Rivas. He could lose. He really could. And if he loses one of those fights, that all that money goes off the table. It's
right.
gone.
Yeah.
It's not going to come back. So I thought that was a really interesting move. I'm sure in his next fight, whoever that may be, he's going to make it in a high level amount of money, and he's probably not going to fight anybody too tough. But I wonder if this is going to backfire on him as he looks down the road when once all this dust settles, because he may be leaving a lot of money on the table.
All right, let's go over to the final piece of the heavyweight puzzle. Anthony Joshua and we got Big Baby Miller, Jarrell Miller getting in there. You know, this one's going to be on DAZN. It's going to be on the platform that you work with. You had them in a studio for some type of face-off, and you had Miller storming out. You know, is the animosity real? That's my question. You're in there. You can see it. You know, do these two hate each other? Is it real?
I don't think it's real from Joshua's perspective. You know, Joshua is kind of perplexed at Jarrell Miller's animosity towards him. He doesn't really understand it. But for Jarrell Miller, he looks at Anthony Joshua like a guy who's had everything kind of handed to him.
Right.
I mean, here you have the Olympic gold medalist and, you know, signs with Matchroom and is brought up in front of huge crowds in the UK, while he has taken a completely different path from kickboxing, you know, growing up in hard scrabble streets and trying to fight for every inch that he's had, now getting his first opportunity. I think Jarrell Miller, you know, look, Jarrell Miller says what he thinks. He thinks he's fake. He thinks he's not a role model. He thinks right. he's just not a real tough guy. And in that face-off that'll come out at some point in the next couple of weeks or months, you know, he just didn't want to be in the same room with Anthony Joshua. He just couldn't stand the smug look on Joshua's face. And, you know, he just wanted a piece of him right then and there. So, to answer your question, Joshua, I think he's indifferent to Jarrell Miller. I think Jarrell Miller really strongly dislikes Anthony Joshua.
Well, you're an East Coast guy. More importantly, with this question here, is who's the better freestyle rapper?
You know, I didn't hear Miller's freestyle. Joshua's, I'd keep his day job.
Yo, Joshua, I listened to it the first time. I was like, yo, this is bad. But the second time, it kind of grew on me a little bit. Joshua's, it wasn't terrible because I really feel like it was off the cuff. Miller's, I felt like
there's the bar then. Wasn't terrible.
No, wasn't terrible. That. Yeah, exactly. Cool wasn't that. Terrible for a fighter. But Miller's, I felt like he wrote it the night before because he came in and like he was too comfortable and I had never heard him rap before. And he just came out and spit like he was on for like 5 minutes straight and it like made sense and it was really good. And, like, so let me believe that like Miller maybe like prepared for this.
Oh, it's like any sport with rap. Every baller wants to be a rapper. Every rapper wants to be a baller.
Right.
You know, I see that in basketball every year. So I think both those guys should stick with what they do best.
Do a lot of the basketball players, not the heavyweights, are back? Are you getting more questions? The questions are transitioning from Mayweather and Pacquiao and more towards the heavyweight picture?
Not yet. I think this Joshua fight will go a long way towards building for that. I think there's awareness of Anthony Joshua, but not, you know, knowledge of him, if that makes any sense. I mean, I think a lot of people will be watching that fight at the Garden. And look, one thing about Jarrell Miller is that he's going to speak this fight into legitimacy.
Right.
You know, I think he's a heavy underdog for a reason. I think he's underestimating Joshua's power. And Joshua, you know, whatever you want to say about him, his resume is vastly superior to that of Jarrell Miller. But Jarrell's going to spend the next 2 months in front of every interview and that whole fight week just speaking this fight to legitimacy. And I think that's going to go a long way towards drawing more eyeballs to it.
Yeah, you need a dance partner. You certainly need two to tango, especially in the boxing world. Chris Max, catch him on DAZN. Check out his work on Sports Illustrated. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You got it, man. Anytime.
Believe it or not, there is some other news going on in the world of boxing outside of Tyson Fury in the heavyweight division, and we'll start off with the World Boxing Super Series and Regis Progre. It looks like Progre gave them his word and said, I will be fighting and I will be moving forward, participating in this troubled tournament that has fallen on some tough times with an investor pulling out. So it looks like Regis Progre is back. He'll be fighting in April 27th, going up against Kirill Relic. It is the semifinal match, and this is good for a number of reasons. There is that small demographic of fans out there, boxing fans, and I'm seeing this more and more when you're on Twitter and I get into my mentions, and you see people that are rooting for failure. You know, they're rooting for this promoter to do poorly, or they're rooting for this network to fail, or they don't want to see the strength of the zone. They want to see things fail. I don't understand that. And that was the case with the World Boxing Super Series. You know, this thing had a huge success in 2018 with the cruiserweights and the 168-pound division, and we saw great fights. We see the best fighting the best. And that was the main reason that Regis Progre said he was going to stay in the tournament, because it's the best fighting the best. He can come out with two belts and one day fight Jose Ramirez down the line at 140, should he stay at 140. But it's good. It's good for boxing. And most importantly, it's good for Regis Progre, who is now 30 years old and only has 23 professional fights in his career. He has to fast-track his career. You know, we talked to Lou DiBella on the last episode, who is the promoter for Regis, and he said Regis just has to get into the ring. He has to fight, and this is the best way to do it. So they'll be fighting in the U.S., which is also a great thing. I know they're gonna pair it up with Donaire and TT. That fight's going to be fire, too. So I think that's a really good card. It's good news for the boxing world. Moving forward here, take one step forward, one step back in the world of boxing. Seems like that's been the MO for the last couple of years. Anthony Joshua and ESPN had a little snafu over last week. It looked like Joshua was set to make a bunch of appearances on ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports. He was going to hop on First Take with Max and Stephen A. Smith. He was also going to go on Max's new show on ESPN, his back Max on Boxing, kind of make the rounds in Bristol and kind of pump up his career, pump up the Joshua versus Jarrell Miller fight. You know, and ESPN got wind of this, and they kind of pulled the plug at the very last second. You know, the night before those Thursday interviews, ESPN was like, wait a second. You know, Anthony Joshua is going to come on our network, and he's going to be promoting a fight with Jarrell Miller that's on DAZN, which now with ESPN Plus being out there, it's kind of the same exact thing as DAZN. I don't think we're going to do this, which led to more speculation about why ESPN did this. Now, did they do this because John Skipper, the former president of ESPN, is now the president of DAZN? Did they not? They want to stick it to John Skipper and take Anthony Joshua off ESPN? Or was it just the fact that they don't want to promote a fight on DAZN on ESPN? You know, their reasoning, ESPN's reasoning, was that they believe that, you know, we'll have him on later down the road. We'll have him on closer to the fight. But that doesn't make much sense at all, because they'd put him on closer to the fight, that would just simply promote the fight even more. So it's, you know, it's just one thing in boxing that you're seeing here, and this actually made the rounds on just, you know, not just traditional boxing sites like Boxing Scene or wherever you get your news. You know, you saw it on Richard Deitch, formerly of Sports Illustrated, media critic who's now with The Athletic. He's the one who kind of broke this story, and you see Awful Announcing picking it up, and you see other, you know, mainstream publications picking up the story because it's juicy. I mean, you got one of the biggest fighters in the world, and the biggest sports networks in the world pulling the plug on him. You know, doesn't make much sense from ESPN side of things. You just invested $100 million in Tyson Fury. You just invested a lot of money in the heavyweight division. You know, why not put Anthony Joshua on ESPN, who could potentially be a dance partner for Tyson Fury? But like I said, boxing in a nutshell. Keeping with the heavyweight theme, that's been something we've talked about a lot on this show. Alexander Usyk beefing up for the heavyweight division as only he can. There's a picture that resurfaced on the good old Twitter. You know, when Usyk's not dancing, when he's on a vacation, when he's not telling people I am feel, he is eating what looks like it could be anything from an empanada to a Hot Pocket to raw ravioli. I have no idea what he's eating. The hat, too. The hat is something, but wow. I'm trying to figure out what that is. Look, I'm going to say it's an empanada, but I've never seen anyone eat an empanada with a spoon. But then again, Alexander Usyk does whatever the hell he wants. But, you know, he's going to be a force in the heavyweight division. Everyone's talking about, you know, there's three heavyweights. You know, there's Joshua, there's Fury, and there's Wilder. Man, if there's only a fourth guy, you know, people don't really think of Miller as much. That's up to personal debate. But, you know, there's no fourth guy. There's only a fourth guy in the heavyweight division that can kind of round it out so these guys can all fight each other. But don't forget about Alexander Usyk. You know, the cruiserweight king is heading up to heavyweight, and he's going to fight. Looks like he's going to fight Alexander Povetkin sometime in the spring of 2019, and that will be on DAZN. But there it is. All your news and notes, as we always do here on Inside Boxing Live. This has been In Case You Missed It. Our next interview on Inside Boxing Live is brought to you by Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar. Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar, located just a few steps away from Madison Square Garden and Times Square. Go into Jack Doyle's for all your entertainment needs. From happy hours to birthday parties to private events, Jack Doyle's has you covered. Once again, that's Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar, located on 240 West 35th Street. Our next guest here at Inside Boxing Live is a former two-division world champ. He is quickly becoming one of the best color analysts in the game. You can catch him on ESPN. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only, the Desert Storm, Mr. Tim Bradley. Tim, how are you doing this afternoon?
Man, I'm great, man. Here in California, sunny California, where the rest of the world over there on the East Coast freezing, man. We in drop tops right now.
What are you
enjoying our sunshine.
You trying to rub it in right now? Because we're here in New York. We have a wind advisory today. We've got 60-degree winds. I almost blew off the expressway trying to get here for this interview.
Hey, man, I was in Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, bro, and it was like 20-something below zero.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm not trying to rub it in, but I'm just saying I was out there not too long ago, so I know what y'all are going through.
It's brutal. It's brutal, but, you know, the action heating up in the boxing world more than ever. I feel like boxing is just like it's at an all-time high now between the fans, you know, getting involved with the fights and the fighters, you know, all these different platforms and, you know, ESPN Plus now. We got The Zone, you know, the big boys like Showtime and ESPN and Fox. But the big news over the last week is coming from your side of the street over on ESPN. Tyson Fury coming over to ESPN, signing a co-promotional deal with Top Rank and Bob Arum. First of all, how surprised were you by that?
You know, I was kind of surprised when I heard the news, man, you know, because, you know, for the most part, it's like, you know, I know Wilder's, you know, with, you know, PPC and mm-hmm. all of them and whatnot, but, you know, finally, you know, Bob, I guess he tweeted out that, you know, he's going to be a free agent, you know, pretty soon, or the day he tweeted out something about it, I saw it. You know, I just thought that, like, you know, if they wasn't going to make this rematch happen, I was just like, man, why are you over here signing with TR? But I think it's a smart move, man. And I'm not saying that only because, you know, I represent ESPN and TR is, you know, does the fights. You know, I do the fights for, you know, Top Rank Boxing. But I'm saying that because it just makes sense, man. You know, you're going to come over here to, you know, the United States. You want to build the fan base over here, what bigger network to be with than ESPN? I mean, you know, ESPN, you know, can make superstars, you know, instantly, man. You know what I mean? We got that kid, Lopez, Teofimo Lopez, who's, you know, instantly becoming like, you know, everybody's highlight reel and everybody's, you know, and everybody's, you know, mirror, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, this kid is looking sensational in his fights, and ESPN can just push you and boost you. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever sport's on, man, you know, if ESPN want to push something, you see the little ticker at the bottom of the, you know, if you have a basketball game, football game, it don't matter, man. Like, they're constantly pushing and feeding the fans information on what to watch and what's coming up next. And so why not do it, man? Why not come over to the baddest platform in sports, period, here in the United States? So I think it was a smart move on him, on his part. And, you know, let's see what Wilder does. I don't know what Wilder's going to do. But if he wants that rematch, then he's going to have to definitely come this way.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a really interesting, like, little situation that's going on right now. You bring up the fact that, you know, it was a smart move from Fury from you know, just getting visibility. But it's also a smart move for Tyson Fury when it comes to negotiation table, because, you know, when he took this fight with Wilder, no one saw that coming. He kind of did it. He was on that comeback trail. A lot of people thought, you know, he took the fight a little too soon because, you know, he's dropping all that weight. And they kind of, like, put that together really quickly. And maybe he didn't get, you know, every last dollar that was on the table talking about Tyson Fury, because there was a lot of question marks about him. But now he links up with Top Rank. He links up with ESPN. You know, he doesn't have a belt, but suddenly he's got even more leverage when he sits down at the table. You've been in those negotiations, you know, at the highest level with Manny Pacquiao. But now that Fury has ESPN behind him, has Top Rank behind him, now when he sits down with whether it's Joshua or whether it's Deontay Wilder, he has something at the table too.
Yeah, absolutely. He definitely has something at the table, man. And, you know, he's setting himself up, trying to position himself to be able to make that big money. You know, I don't know. I don't know if the numbers are right or what I've read or something like that, or something around like 4 or 5 million or something like that. He got for his last fight, or I'm not sure what the with Wilder, but you know, man, that's like, you know, Manny Pacquiao type money for me. When I, you know, for Manny Pacquiao, these guys are heavyweights, man, and these guys, you know, he's the I guess people consider him the lineal champion, you know what I mean, still today, mm-hmm. you know, because no one's beating him. But, you know, it's just definitely a marketing tool to be like, hey, you know, I'm over here now. Guys, come on. You know, you want to face me? I'm still undefeated. You know, I've been defeated. And, you know, Fury, he has that mouthpiece. So
he
can talk. And he, you know, and he definitely is an awkward, very awkward, you know, heavyweight out there, man. The most awkward I've seen in most recent years for anybody out there, even for Joshua, super awkward, man. Hard to hit. But, yeah, now he has leverage. He definitely has leverage, you know, and it's going to force, if these guys want to face him, it's going to force these guys to, you know, come outside of their, you know, their contracts or link up or just come with some kind of deal, you know, with ESPN and just get locked in and get a piece of him, you know, and he has that name too. So he has a name over there in Europe as well. And, you know, like I said, Joshua wants to get some. He'll have to do something. He'll have to come this way. And especially Wilder. You know how badly Wilder wants this fight.
Right.
You know, he's going to have to figure out something, you know, to be able to come over here and fight on the ESPN platform. I think it's a smart move, man. I honestly do. I don't understand why the split and why, you know, this side doing it this way. I mean, we just need to, you know, boxing back in the days used to be like, yo, like, all right, we're gonna do a purse bid, right. You know, and you know, whatever promoter, you know, comes up with the most money is the one that's gonna win the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then that promoter's gonna have that network or whatever network he affiliates himself with, you know, go ahead and provide it to the fans. So like, why can't it go back to that, man? Why can't it just go boil down to a purse bid and where we have the best fight the best?
Yeah, I think this one was supposed to go to purse bid, though. I think this one still has a potential to go to a purse bid. That's still on the table, at least. It's so complicated, though.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
It's so complicated, and I know that a lot of the fans were upset that Fury did this deal because they think it's just going to complicate things even more. Like, you know, this rematch was supposed to be almost delivered. Like, we were expecting an announcement this week.
But why be mad at Fury because he's trying to put himself in the best situation?
No, I get it. That's what I said. You
and
know.
It's like the fight fans are mad. They're like, oh, you signed with the wrong deal. It's just like with Terrence Crawford re-upped with Top Rank. It's like, yo, like, you know, he's comfortable here. He, you know, he's made a living here. You know, he knows all these people. Like, you know, they gave him the best deal he was happy with. You know, why does he have to go over to the other side or go over to Fox or go over to wherever to make a fight? You know, like, let's go back to the days, back in the old days, man. Like I tell you, purse bid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What network we going to go on? All right, well, hey, whoever puts up the most money, they get the show. You know, if Top Rank puts up the most money, ESPN going to get the show.
Mm-hmm.
If Fox put up the most money, they're going to get the show or the promoter. It doesn't matter, man. Like, let's go back to that, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then go from there. But everybody wants to, you know, have their, you know, have control. And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Everybody wants control, complete control of the shows. And that's the biggest problem.
Now, did you have any conversations? I know you're obviously aligned with Top Rank, but, you know, talking about now how everyone has to kind of come across the aisle now to make big fights. Did you have any conversations with Al Haymon and their side? Did you ever think about, you know, man, I would like to fight the likes of Floyd Mayweather or Marcos Maidana or something
like
that?
Yeah, I mean, I did, man, you know, and it was more... You know, I didn't want to take that gamble or that risk. Like I told you, like, I was affiliated with Top Rank. You know, Top Rank, you know, pretty much made me rich. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, loyalty for me is important, you know. And I had an opportunity to go to, you know, with Al Haymon and go with that crew, you know, right before the Pacquiao 3 fight.
Wow.
So before that fight was made, I was in Cancun with Todd DeBuff,
mm-hmm.
and Todd was like, hey, you're thinking, you know, we want to do a 3, Bradley Pacquiao 3, you know, are you on board? Your contract is ending right now. Like, hey, like, you know, you're going to be up with us. Like, what's your plans? And I got a couple of calls from, PBC, not Al Haymon directly, but it's, you know, his right hand man and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were trying to, you know, get me to sign and see, you know, they're, you give me a number about, you know, Floyd Mayweather, you know, is interested, you know, this amount of money, this amount of dollars, this and that, and this and that. And I was just like, okay, that sounds cool. But then I thought about it. I was like, well, you know what? Floyd was supposed to fight Amir Khan. And then
he changed
his mind.
Yeah.
He reneged. And then Amir Khan was out, you know, was like basically begging for the fight.
Yeah.
And didn't get the fight. And I'm like, that's not guaranteed money for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, hey, drop me $4 million in my account. You know what I'm saying? The money that they're gonna pay me, I'll sit it out, and then we'll go like that. Of course, nobody gonna drop no money in my account. So I'm like, nah, man. You know what? I'm good. I know my people here at TR. I've known them for a long time. I work with them. I'm gonna stay loyal. Like, I had an opportunity to jump ship, but I didn't because, like I said, like, you know, I don't know everybody from the other side. I don't know everybody from PBC. I don't know everybody from Fox.
Right, so it would have been, maybe you would have got the Mayweather fight, but you may have gotten the Mayweather fight, maybe not, but, you know, you felt more comfortable at Top Rank because, you know, they were promising you a third fight with Pacquiao, which would have been, obviously, made a ton of money. So that's what it comes down to. I always, you know, a lot of fans don't think about what goes into the fighters' mindsets when they choose to align themselves with what promoter. Like Tyson Fury, why did he do that? I'm looking on Twitter and I see, why did he do that? You know, first of all, he just got $100 million. Not on the spot, but the deal could call for that type of money. And maybe he felt comfortable with Top Rank. Maybe he felt like, you know, there's all those reasons we just named. So it's really interesting to hear your side of it, you know, and what goes into the thought process.
Listen, man, TR, man, and I'm not saying this just to say, I'm saying this because it's real, man. They are the best promotional company out there, bro. Like, they are truly the best out there, man. And because they just like this deal with ESPN is astronomical, bro. Like, this deal with ESPN is crazy. Like, it's not like what PBC did. It's on a whole different level, you know, and their ratings are speaking high. You know, their ratings is showing everybody, like, hey, TR, ESPN is doing something right. Look at these ratings.
It's two behemoths.
They're high.
It's two behemoths.
And they're putting on great fights. They're not horrible fights. They're good fights. You know, they're great fights out there, man.
Yeah, who are some fights? So, who are some names that you've been seeing along this last couple of year, this year with ESPN? You know, that's the thing what I've seen so far with these fights is – they are exciting fights. You know, they're not the biggest names on paper yet, you know, but, you know, in maybe five years from now, and you got Shakur Stevenson, you got Teofimo, you got Jose Ramirez, and, you know, there's such a good pipeline right now. Joshua Greer, there's such a good pipeline of fighters. What of these fighters, who has impressed you the most so far, these up-and-comers?
Well, you know, definitely Shakur Stevenson. A lot of people, you know, for me, I like him because he doesn't get hit. And that's the remedy to boxing. That right there, Floyd Mayweather, you know, has made a living on not getting hit, you know. And, you know, plus his offense. But Shakur Stevenson, tough guy to hit. You know, he's slick. He got good punching power. He's kind of grown into himself, you know. He's still growing now and maturing. You know, you see his strength is starting to improve. You see him sitting down with his punches more. You see the, you know, his defensive prowess now, the way he defend against guys, he catch and shoot or react against guys now. He's just got a lot smarter, a lot stronger. And I know this kid can go the distance because he has done some rounds, you know. So I know he can easily go 12 rounds, no problem. He can outbox anybody and go 12. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. He kind of reminds me, Shakur kind of reminds me of like an Andre Ward, you know, not a you know, supreme puncher, but just enough to gain your respect and be able to control you. You know, encounter you enough to gain your respect. And then you got a guy like Lopez who's, you know, kind of remind me of like that Camacho, real cocky, you know, confident, you know, Roy Jones type flair, you know, that brings it, man. He brings the pain.
Yeah,
and everything this young man has said so far, he's delivered. Everything he tells me in the fighter meetings, he's delivered.
I know,
I'm
right?
Knock him out.
That's crazy.
I'm going to knock him out this round.
Is he the best prospect in boxing?
Best prospect right now?
He could be.
I mean, you know, right now, as far as the one that's really delivering, you know, like a promoter's dream.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Him. Oh yeah. He's the guy right now.
I don't
absolutely
know if he's
no
even
question.
Considered a prospect anymore. I mean, he's I think he's this last year, especially his last fight, I think he's gone from prospect to legit title contender.
No, I mean, he's now in the top 10, absolutely. And he is definitely in the contender phase now You know, he'd be the fighter that, you know, only lost in championship fights. Yeah. You know, Magdaleno has only been beaten in championship fights.
Yeah.
And he, you know, obliterated him. And it was no problem. It was easy. And, you know, he's just, Lopez is just a big, freaky, you know, lightweight, man. He's big and he's strong and he's growing. And he's going to continue to grow. And I don't see him in his weight class that much longer. You know, I see him moving up to 140 pounds. And then I think that's when we'll see how good really Lopez is, 140 pounds different from 135. He's a lot bigger and stronger than these guys.
Yeah.
And has a ton of skill and good speed and great eyes and vision. This kid's a talent. I just haven't seen, like, I keep telling him, I'm like, okay, his last fight, he fought at a very comfortable pace. You know, Magdaleno didn't have the power to be even, you know, touch him or even move him, you know, and he was very comfortable and he was hitting him at ease. It was just at will. He was just pop-shotting him from the outside. Every time he made a mistake, he would hit him. But, you know, around six, I start seeing a little, you know, I see him calm down a little bit. And, you know, seven, when he got him out of there, you know, after the fight, he told me, like, hey, T, I need to work on my conditioning.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, you do. Because I know that he hasn't been past seven rounds. He hasn't been past eight rounds at all. You know, and eight, let's see, nine, 10, 11, 12 dudes, you got to dig deep. You got to seriously dig deep, man, because that's the second half, and that's when the fight really starts, and you fade like crazy, and you get fatigued, and I want to see him under pressure. That's why I want to see him against a guy like Pedraza, a guy that's been there.
That'd be a good fight.
If he doesn't get Pedraza out early, then, you know, Pedraza has a chance towards the back end, and I want to see him be touched. I want to see how he reacts and how he responds to that.
Yeah, that'd be a good fight.
Is he the best prospect? Yeah, I think he's the best fighter. And he's moving to contender. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But I just think, like I said, John, I want to see him against a guy that's just going to push him a little bit more because I want to see what he can deliver. Can he show?
And that's another good thing about Top Rank is the matchmaking is on another level. You know, Bruce Trampler and
phenomenal.
Carl Moretti and all the Brad Jacobs, all the powers that be at Top Rank really know how to move a fighter along in his career. Fighter that's been moved along great at Top Rank is Terrence Crawford. I know you're a very big fan of Terrence Crawford. I know he's a friend of yours.
Yeah.
Big fight, April 20th at the Garden, Amir Khan. Man, this one's going to be big. We know what Crawford can do. He's the heavy favorite in there. What does Amir Khan have to do? What's his path to victory in that fight?
No, see, the thing is that Amir Khan, the problem, see, this is the thing with Amir Khan. I study all these guys. So, like, Amir Khan, he definitely has hand speed. But the problem is that, you know, when he uses hand speed, he rushes one and he kind of, he exposes himself. This dude will run in with combinations. Like, that's his thing. His thing is in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And he'll run in with combinations. He'll leave himself exposed. He'll leave his chin straight up in the air to be hit with the overhand right or a left hook. Either or. One, you pick, you know. And once he starts throwing those combinations, if you loop something over the top, you're not going to miss that big noggin of his. You're going to hit him either on the chin or high on the head. And, you know, and his chin is not that great, you know. And that's the thing. But I have to tell you this because – Amir Khan's been in the game a long time, so he does have experience.
Yes.
He does have a really good trainer in Virgil Hunter. And these are the type of fights that a fighter needs. Like, for me, in my career, I needed a fight that's going to get me nervous, that was going to get me...
Right. At this point in Khan's career, he needs a little extra motivation.
Yeah. Because you're waking up, dude. You got cars parked in the driveway, bro. You got, you know, nice linen sheets, you know, silk sheets, and you got beautiful pajamas on, and you got a beautiful lady sitting next to you, you know, and you got everything you ever need.
Exactly.
So you need that inspiration, man. So a fighter like Terrence Crawford is going to boost Amir Khan. I think we're going to see the best Amir Khan that we haven't seen in a while, a guy that's completely focused because he knows the task that's at hand. Against a guy like Terrence Crawford. And he knows that if he beats Terrence Crawford, you know, then
he's
he knows
king.
That he becomes the man.
Yep.
You know, and then he can sell off and retire and do whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I just think that, you know, timing beats speed. I think Amir Khan would definitely give Terrence Crawford fits early on. But, you know, Terrence Crawford's going to weather the storm. He's going to remain calm, and he's going to pinpoint that shot, and it's going to be over. I'm thinking second half of the fight.
That's a pretty good window into what that fight will happen. How about Mikey Garcia, Errol Spence? You're a guy that went up, you jumped up to 147 to fight Pacquiao and some of the big guys at welterweight. He's jumping two weight classes here. This is a big thing here. No one is giving Mikey Garcia any chance in this fight. Are you giving Mikey Garcia a chance?
Of course. I mean, you know, you got to give guys a chance, especially a guy that can punch and is smart as Mikey Garcia. The thing is that Mikey has to fight the perfect fight. He really does. And if he doesn't fight the perfect fight, you know, that's no problems. And one of the things is that Mikey cannot get in a firefight, you know, with a guy like Errol Spence. A lot of guys thinking that he should take the fight in the inside. I'm saying, oh, absolutely not. No. Don't take the fight in the inside at all with a guy like Errol Spence. Errol Spence wants you to be inside because he likes to bang you to the body.
Big body
and
guy.
He likes to break you down.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, he's a vicious body puncher, dude, and he sits down on all his punches.
Yeah,
and so keep the fight outside. Make this guy think. You have to make this guy think. If you don't make this guy think, gotta make him try to fall short. Gotta make him commit, and then you gotta counter punch, and then just subtle movement because Mikey's not gonna move around like a Sugar Ray Leonard. You know, he's not gonna move around like that. Just subtle, always being set, and that's Mikey. He's good at that. He's good at controlling range. He'll knock the jab down. He'll try to take that jab away from Spence, you know, and he's going to look for Spence to load up with a straight left hand or something like that, and then try to counter him. That's what he needs to do all night long, man. He needs to do that all night long to fight a perfect fight to beat a guy like Spence, because Spence is going to be there all night. And if he doesn't have that punching power or anything that can deter or, you know, get Spence to back off and respect him, dude, he's going to get pounded. I mean, pounded. Spence is going to keep his hands up, and he's going to let him punch, and he's going to just break him down.
Walk him
to the
down.
Body,
yeah.
Just bulldozer him, you know. So it just depends on, like I told you, it depends on if he can carry his power up, and it also depends on if he can control that distance outside, because he has no business fighting him inside, man, at all. And if he does that, then he has a good chance. But other than that, I don't – it's going to be a tough match, man.
I hear you, man. Tim Bradley, one of the best broadcasters in the game. I think potential trainer. I could see you being a trainer one day, man. You know your stuff, and you're doing a great job on ESPN. Thank you so much for joining us here on Inside Boxing Live, and we'll catch you ringside. That's a wrap for another edition of Inside Boxing Live. Of course, we have to thank our guests for joining us here on the show. Sports Illustrated / DAZN's Chris Mannix, he was awesome. And some great insights, of course, from the one and only Desert Storm, Tim Bradley. Special thanks out to them. As for this week, I'm headed down to Columbus, Ohio, to the Arnold Festival. It's time for some more Broadway boxing. I'll be calling the action alongside Corey Erdman, and we're going to have a great time. We've got a lot of stuff planned for that as well. I'll be heading to the Hard Rock this week, too, in New York City for the Canelo Alvarez Danny Jacobs press conference. You can see those interviews on YouTube. Also, if you want to watch some boxing this weekend over at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, we got an all Cuban card between Arizandy Lara and the big boy, the King Kong, Luis Ortiz. We'll see you next week. There's another edition of Inside Boxing Live.